This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello and good evening. Good Sunday evening. Welcome to another edition of Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, the co-founder of Full Time Families and the road schooling mom of four adorable kiddos. My name is Kimberly Travaglino, and I'm always joined on this show by my lovely co-host, Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, who is running a few minutes late. So we will start without her, and she'll join us when she can.
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness. I dialed in on time. I just couldn't chat with you on time.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, here you are. Wonderful. Well, welcome.
Hey, it's good to be here. Good to be on time for this time anyway. So how was your week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's start with where we are. How about that?
That's fine. Start that. Yeah, I didn't know what you talked about because I really didn't hear the first part of it.
Yeah, I haven't. All I said was that you were going to be late, and then you said, hello, I'm here. So no one missed anything. I am on the coast of Oregon, enjoying the last few days of Indian summer up here. We got one of those rainy days, and, you know, with this Indian summer, we've been lulled into this, oh, we could live here. This is beautiful here. And then that one rainy day, when I almost grew mushrooms on my back, I was like, oh, no. Oh, I could never live here if this is what it's predominantly like. So we're enjoying the last 2 days of summer, and we're going to be pulling out within a day or two and heading east. And so where in the world are you, Mary Beth?
Well, I am in northern Ohio, another unexpected week for us. I actually took my kiddos on a little short trip. The other half of us is down in San Antonio, Texas for this week, where my husband's at on a project. So we took advantage of this week to do just a little sightseeing, and we went in northern Ohio up in Amish country and spent a couple days up there at a really fun KOA not far from Spencer, Ohio, and are actually on our way back home through Indiana to pick up our rig and hopefully meet our driver in a couple of days so that we can start heading back south, which is the trip that we started on about 6 weeks ago, if you're following us on our crazy journey here.
Fun. Well, it's always nice to get out and go to different states. And Ohio sounds like a nice state. How's the weather there?
You know, it's beautiful. The leaves are really turning here. We've been in several different states, as you know, in the last couple of weeks, and nowhere was it predominantly fall any more than Ohio. The leaves are all turned, and the weather was cool in the morning and in the evenings, and, you know, very comfortable through the day, and so it's very fallish, very makes you want to go make ham and beans and get out the scarecrows and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love fall. I really do. I love all the seasons in the beginning, and then as they wane on, I get bored with them.
Well, it's so funny to say that because when we were traveling, I said two or three times, because it's so beautiful there. I mean, it was very hilly, and in the Amish, you know, it was all this nostalgic, you know what I mean? It was kind of old-fashioned, the area we were in, and big red barns, and I was like, gosh, wouldn't it be fun to live here? We could live here. Wouldn't it be fun to come through here? And, you know, and I mean, one of the kids was like, don't they get a lot of snow here? I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We don't want to spend all that much time there, right? So
right. This is exactly why we are full-time, because, you know, for both you and I, we get bored with the status quo, and it's always nice to change your scenery, change your atmosphere, change your location, change your season. You know, we have the opportunity with wheels to change our season at will. I can drive to winter right now if I choose, or I can drive to summer. It's all up to me.
That's so very true, and I'll just take a little second to tell you how, because I don't think you and I talked about this when we caught up in the last couple of days. But what led me to this Ohio journey was another little stint that I done with what we've been talking about with our independent location income. I had the chance to do a pilot car run on my own for the first time, sans no help from anybody else. And I took that load, and in one day, my gross revenue was around $660. And when I took off the expenses for the day, I netted about $470. So I was very excited to pump that unexpected independent location income into our budget for the month.
That is awesome. That must have felt really good.
Yeah, it did feel good. So for more details on that, you'll have to tune in to our independent location series, which I think we'll be resuming in a couple weeks, right?
Actually, next week.
Okay.
Actually, next week, yeah. So tune in next week. And if you want to hear more about Mary Beth's pilot car, you can tune in to part three that we recorded earlier this month. When I find a link for that, I will post it up on the chat. Maybe I can find it right this second. It's called Income Opportunities on the Road, and there's a picture of an oversized load right there. That's the one we talked about, your pilot car opportunity. Ironically, we also talked about my income opportunity stuff the state, and on Road School Mom's Facebook group, in what my road school looked like, I included a picture of the table. We went to a craft fair this weekend right here at the campground. We took our Stuff the State pack. I loved it. It took up the same amount of room as a roll of paper towels, Mary Beth.
That's awesome.
I had everything rolled up and just secured in one plastic bag, and I was able to set up an entire table with just this very compact business kit that I had created, and we sold out. So
really? That's
time.
Awesome.
Yep, it was a great time.
I love it. You took the kids and made them a part of it. I've seen in the picture. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. They're always happy to help. I remember when my family used to go to flea markets and run booths and stuff, I always loved it too. So. Very fun. So that was part of our road school this week. And another part of our road school was Laura Hay Hamilton, road school mom who we had been parked next to the beginning of this week. They just recently pulled out and headed south, came and did an assessment on two of my children. You and I talked about this, but the jury is out, but there's anywhere between 7 and 11 classified learning modalities. That's figuring out the way your brain works. Some people say, oh, I need it to be hands-on to learn it, and other people prefer to read about it in the book, and other people prefer to remember it via a song or a mnemonic. So all those different ways that your brain works is called a learning modality. And Laura Hay Hamilton is embarking on a brand new initiative where she is sharing her many, many years of experience in the public school system, making that into a learning education consultant. So she sat down with Tonya and she sat down with Dominic and she did an assessment of each of them. I have to say that it was like the sky opened up and all of a sudden I understood. It was amazing. It was nothing short of amazing. She and I do one lesson a day. It's about 20 minutes. It's all I can handle, Mary Beth. It's all I can handle. I don't know if she's playing with me. I don't know if we're like oil and water when it comes to lesson time, but we struggle through that 20 minutes. And that 20 minutes is dedicated to learning how to read. And we use that Teach Your Child to Read in 100 Days.
Right.
And I can point to the letter E, and she'll say the letter E, and I'll point to it again, and she'll say the letter L. It takes every ounce of patience, to make it through that 20 minutes, really. And Laura came and said, your daughter is a kinesthetic learner, so she needs to learn by gross and small body movements. And she she made this little box for Tonya, specially for Tonya, with textured stuff. There's Play-Doh in it. There's magnetic letters in there. She just went to the dollar store and bought a couple of fun things. And one of the other things she bought was a scrub glove for, like, the shower. You know what I'm talking about? Like a glove you would put on your hand and scrub your body with?
Yeah.
So it's highly textured. So she told Tonya that this is her learning glove, and when she's doing her reading, she needs to have her glove on. And then she needs to touch fingers for every for every letter. So if it's E-A-T, eat, she needs to touch the first finger to the thumb E, the second finger to the thumb A, the third finger to the thumb T, right? And she needs to do that with her glove on. And then that information will be transmitted straight from her fingers into her brain. This is what she told Tonya. Well, what a difference. What a difference. I was so afraid she was going to come back and give me this long list of stuff that I would need to do, and there would be sand involved and all sorts of messiness that I couldn't handle. And I thought, you know, I'm so maxed out. I'm so overwhelmed. I just need some quick and dirty tips to just connect with her, but I don't know if they even exist. And I'm here to tell you they do. And Tonya is doing leaps and bounds better with that glove on, by making those movements. But just these small things that she taught me have given me confidence that we can do this together.
That's amazing. I cannot wait. I know that you and I have talked a lot about this. We haven't shared a lot of it with our listeners on air because it's something that Laura is definitely working on behind the scenes for her launch date, which will be sometime soon. But I am so excited about her doing this with at least a couple of my kids, because I'm fighting the same thing as you are, just in a different way. And I think it's really important for all of us to remember, whether you're a homeschooler or a road schooler or whatever kind of schooler that you claim to be, unschooler or whatever, you know, we're just a mom. You're just a mom. And not every mom has the patience of Job. And just because you homeschool doesn't mean that you have 150 pounds of patience. It probably means that you either do have 150 pounds of patience, or you've learned to live without 150 pounds of patience. And, you know, so I think that's the first thing to remember when you're fighting something like that. And the second thing is, you know, chances are, I don't know for how it is for you, Kimberly, but for me, I can tell you which one of my kids that I get along with better as a road school mom. And that kid learns, feels, thinks about, and behaves very, very similar to how I did when I was in school, because we're probably the same type of learner. So, you know, chances are all of your kids are not the same type of learner, and the ones that don't learn and don't feel as you did and as you are the ones that you're going to have, you know, a conflict with, and conflict not in a bad way, just, you know, you're going to have to arrive at different ways to make them learn and to help them see what's, you know, what's down the road of new information, because you don't see it the way they do.
Absolutely not. You know, I thought, well, as you mentioned, I do have one that learns and feels and thinks just like I do, and that's Dominic. So Dominic and I used to sit down and go through our work lessons together, and we were in simpatico. I would ask him a question, he would give me the answer, life went on. And then Blaze came along. And I would say, you know, I is a capital letter. And he would say, how do you spell it? And I would say, I. And he would say, yes, how do you spell it? I would say, I. And he would say, I understand that. How do you spell it? And what he meant, and he did the pedal on his own, we went through the same thing with C. We went through the same thing with R. And really, I didn't catch on. I was so lost in a sea of confusion. Like, oh, my gosh, him and I are never going to speak the same language. This is going to be possible. So I wasn't open to what it was he was trying to tell me. And what he had figured out was all these letters that are actually words. Like, I see you. That's I, C, and you. Or, you know, the words, you know. They blew my mind, because I kept saying, why can't you understand? It's just one letter. There's nothing else to spell. And he kept saying, why can't you understand that it needs to be spelled?
Well, it just has so much to do with perception. And, you know, we've talked about this, not even just in road school and you know, skills and things like that, but just in just everyday life, about, you know, taking the time to really take a step back out of your own box, out of your own self, and just try to look at things through their perception. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to learn way more than they will today. Because
absolutely. You're absolutely right. And again, it also talks to that point of having confidence in yourself, right? When you don't have confidence, you just keep pushing forward and you're not listening because you're so worried that they're not going to make any progress. And if you could just take a breath, step back, have some confidence that it's all going to be okay, then you can actually move forward.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was really eye-opening, and I'm so excited about her offering these services. I think it's going to make a difference for the whole country, really, for anyone who is struggling to understand how their child learns. She really has a gift. She has a gift. She was using this gift in public school. She would assess the children in her public classroom and then group them accordingly and give the children that needed movement a place in the classroom where they could move, and the children that needed music, you know, headphones so they could listen to the music they needed to learn. And so now she's bringing it to home educators and public school teachers, whoever wants to utilize her services. And we will be actually interviewing her to talk about it some more in November. I'm checking the date right now. It's November 9th. On that Sunday night, November 9th, we'll be talking with her about figuring this out for your own kid.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the whole thing. So very excited. We'll mark that day on our calendar.
Absolutely. Also, I got some mail today or this week, and in it were two brand new sealed Blu-ray DVD combo packs for Mom's Night Out. As you recall, we had the director of Mom's Night Out, Andrew Irwin, on the show a couple months back when the movie made its premiere, and they were generous enough to give us two combo packs to give out to our listeners. So later in the broadcast, we'll be giving out those two movies.
Well, that was fun. That was awfully nice of them.
Ah, that was nice. I like that. And then what else did my road school look like? Well, we went to Astoria, which is where they filmed the Goonies. It's one of my favorite towns in the country. Again, I wish it was nice and not rainy because I could live there, but not with the rain. And we checked out Sea Lion for a long time. We brought our road trip teacher Explorer packs. You know, I have to say, those Explorer packs, I have a tendency to buy junk. Okay?
I never noticed that.
I think it's going to work out. I have a planned idea and use for it in my mind, but really it just sits there and gets done. But as every time we go on an adventure, and, you know, we make a big deal about every little field trip that we do, those two little kids grab their Explorer packs, and they just love them. They just love the opportunity to have their binoculars on them, their tweezers, all those neat tools that you put in that Explorer pack we use over and over again. And I just shake my head and say, this is awesome, because in the past, this might have been one of those things that I bought that would have just sat and gathered dust, but these kids really love them. So.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and I'll just have to say that, like everything, and I think that probably as RVers, we found this out with because of our space limitations. And I don't know how you handle yours, but, you know, are those backpacks, my own kids, they're visible and they're always in the same place and they're always handy so that when we go out the door, they can grab them. And that's the biggest thing for us, because normally when we go someplace like that or you're looking for something, you know, it's like, well, where is that? You know, you don't know where it is, or, you know, you've put it away. And for us, you know, if you can see it, then it has a 99% more chance of getting used.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We keep ours tucked right by the couch, and they grab them and go, and maybe sometimes we put a little snack in them for them, too. And it's so nice to be hands-free. I know Stephanie Simpson, another road school mom, was telling me once she didn't need diapers anymore, she wasn't bringing a big purse around anymore. And even Laura Hamilton told me, too, it's up to them to carry their stuff now. And now they have an opportunity to do it and look forward to doing it. So there's no argument there. Love it.
Yep.
Another thing we did in our road school this week, you know, road school mom Buddy Arnold gave me that Story of the World history curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say enough about that. We really enjoy that. And we're up to the Jewish people. And we talked about Joseph and his coat of many colors. And I have to say, while we discussed it, we had the best session ever, because while we discussed it, the other kids were all working with Play-Doh, quietly at the table, molding Play-Doh, and I was reading them the story, and they were totally tuned in. It was like they needed something to do with their hands other than just sit there. So we had a really good session of listening and story time, and then we went to work creating our coat of many colors, and we happened to have a Joseph in our rig, David Joseph. DJ is our youngest, and so he got to wear it. And we just took some construction paper and made it into strips and put some masking tape on it and taped it all over him.
And I love the picture.
Yeah. And I also shared a little video I took of him turning around so you could see it in its full glory.
Aw.
Yeah. So what else did you do in your road school this week?
Well, we were traveling a little bit there, kind of midweek, and so we used that time to do, the older kids done some audiobooks, which is something that we had not done this year. They actually had, you were talking about their backpack, the road trip teacher backpacks, they actually packed theirs, and I told them before they left that they needed to pick two subjects that they wanted to take with them and work on in the car instead of trying to cram all a normal, you know, what you have in your head that you need to do in a week. I just had them pick two subjects. And so they done a lot of writing at the end of the day, journaling and, my third grader, she done postcards. And we talked about, again, we touched on how to address envelopes and how to address postcards, just kind of some of those back to basics things. And then you'll be happy to know that we actually grabbed our copy of Story of the World, and I just got it in on Friday.
Ooh,
and so we just sat down.
Wonderful.
And
are
we
you
just,
starting with number one, too?
I am, and we got the activity book, and we just kind of sat down as a family on Friday at lunch and just kind of went over it. We didn't start anything. We're going to do that first of the week, but we're excited to start that. Everybody's really excited about that. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited to follow along with your progress, and I might even take the opportunity to slow down so we could kind of do it together week by week.
That would be
see what you come up with for the activities and what I come up with the activities and be able to share that.
That would be fun. That'd be
because we're only on chapter 6, if we're being honest. We're only 6 chapters in, and the chapters are only 3 pages.
Well, and I can tell you that because we're going to be all gung-ho. You know how it is when you start something new. We can probably double up a little bit and move forward ahead because my gang is really excited to start something new, and they're more excited, of course, because they know the Travs are doing the same thing, so they're all about it.
Very cool. I love that. I'd love to post pictures of what you come up with and what you come up with. I love it. I love the whole thing. Well, I have a confession to make. Last weekend, you may or may not have heard this, but I was really, really ill, on our last show. And that inspired us to create this show, which is When Mom's Sick, What Do You Do? And When Mom's Got the Flu, What Should We Do? Because I was down for the count. I had somehow contracted a case of Bell's palsy.
Oh, a little loud, sorry.
It made my entire half of my face sag and impacted my lips and my eyes. I couldn't shut my eyes. I had a terrible migraine. I still have the remnants of pain on the side of my face. I've been treating myself all week long with frankincense oil. As you recall, many shows ago, we interviewed Melly and Nick Paul about essential oils, and I've taken what they've said to heart, and I now have my own battery of essential oil, and that's my go-to medicine. And I feel that has resolved a lot of the pain that I've had, but in the middle of the week, I was completely incapacitated, and I thought, I'm not getting out of this bed, and I don't want any child to come in this bed with me. So Chris is going to have to figure out what to do with them all day. And, you know, God love Chris. He's as supportive as he can be, but it's not really his forte. 4 kids and of road schooling is not really where he fits in. He's much better at running the business end of our business. So it was difficult for him. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I had a go-to list of things to do or maybe a special box that only came out when Mom was sick or just some kind of tips to rely on that I didn't even have to think about it. I just had it in place if, God forbid, I got sick. And so Mary Beth and I brainstormed this week, and you came up with a really great list.
Yeah, we came up with the Road School Mom 7 road school tips for when mom gets sick in the RV. And it's a lot of no-nonsense, probably. It's not any rocket science that we came up with. But, you know, it's a whole heck of a lot easier to think about what your kids need to do when you're sick, when you're not sick.
Right.
So the key
and
to this is...
like our motto,
little...
right? Be prepared. Right. Don't be scared. Be prepared. So that's what we're always trying to do is prepare people for this kind of thing. So do you want to start with the first one?
Yes. I think, you know, the first thing we talked about, and this is, you know, so simple, is when mom gets sick, that is a total great unexpected lesson that can arise. And your road schooler is all about hospitality and service and kindness and compassion. You know, we talk all the time about how our road school is all about life skills and the things that you learn in everyday life. And this situation is no different. You know, if mom is sick, then who better to take care of them than the kids? Now, clearly, if your mom, you know, if you're sick with something contagious, then no one should be in direct contact. But there's a lot of opportunities in this scenario that, you know, for all ages in your rig, that they can help. You know, the little ones can get Kleenexes or fill up your glass of water. And, you know, depending on the ages of your kids, the older they are, the more responsibility that they can take up. And I don't know about your kids, but I know my kids, you know, they like to have that responsibility and show you what they can do. And, if you know, they like to reciprocate, you know, the good care that you're always giving them, that they like to give that back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. I love that. That's your first tip. Because, you know, my brain goes to how to keep them busy. But you're right. The first tip should be how do we teach them to take care of people. So thanks for putting that there. Your number two tip is get back to basics. Sometimes a mom's energy needs to be used for rest and healing. There's no better time to go back to the basics and enjoy a minimum of school time, practicing math essentials, reading, language arts can be self-led with video games, apps, workbooks, or other resources already on hand. Yeah, absolutely. This is a great time to focus on maybe just one skill.
Right, right. And just remember, sometimes less is more anyway, right? I mean, you know, it's just the timing is good to just take a break. And our number three tip was, and, you know, this, we could have expanded on this and probably done a whole document on just this, but homeschooling with movies. And I know this has really been in the road school news the last couple of weeks because of the Dolphin Tale 2 movie. I know there's a free curriculum out there from Homeschool with Movies Club. And so that's, you know, been top of the mind with everybody. But we, Road School Moms, has three or four favorites that we like to use. And, of course, Homeschool Movie Club is one of them. And they have many free curriculums out there for popular kids, you know, for popular family movies. But when Kimberly and I were in Tucson at our Road School convention last year, we sat in on a workshop for using PBS. And a lot of people think that PBS is, you know, like Sesame Street and Arthur and all that, and it is, but there are so, so many resources on PBS. And the PBS programming that's on TV is wonderful, but the resources on the videos on PBS.org is even more wonderful. So that's one of our other favorite resources for both Kimberly and I's road school. National Geographic, I think everybody's familiar with that, but they really do have a lot of documentaries based on subjects of all kinds, and, you know, depending on what the ones in your rig like to watch, you can usually find some really cool stuff that, you know, nobody knew. And it's always great when family comes along or somebody asks, you know, some quirky little question and one of your kids spouts off some crazy statistic answer and you think, oh, my goodness, where did they learn that? You know, and if it's from a video, then all the more better. And homeschooling with Netflix is another popular idea. And there's actually a whole face group dedicated to that that offers links for movies and educational TV shows, documentaries as well. So you can join that and check out all those links. So homeschooling with movies is a thumbs up from Road School Moms.
Absolutely. In fact, we used the opportunity of my day down, which actually turned into 2 days down, to watch the Back to the Future trilogy. So we watched the Back to the Future trilogy, and it was so funny, Mary Beth. When they go... Number two, when they go to the future, the year they go to is 30 years in the future, which turns out to be 2015. And my kids were incensed that they would present that we would have flying cars by 2015, as obviously we do not yet have flying cars. And they're pretty sure, my kids are pretty sure, that flying cars are not showing up in the next 3 months. So I thought it was so funny, but we just watched back-to-back-to-back that trilogy. And you could do that with a number of trilogies, or you could do that with a whole series of television shows. You could do a season of television shows, just something that gives you a little continuity and a break for the day. Number four you have, create a comfy space for a good family read-aloud. When mom doesn't feel like leading the special time, it's the perfect chance for readers of all ages in the rig to build reading confidence. And absolutely, I love that. In fact, you could probably read an entire book in a day if it was the right size book. And I'd also like to say, if no one's up to the task of reading, there's so many audio resources that are available. As you know, I'm a podcasting addict. So there's a lot of free books available on the Book Should Be Free podcast. In fact, we're currently listening in the evenings to The Call of the Wild, read by some narrator. But there's tons of those available, and you don't even have to buy anything. You could just plug in your iPod and start listening.
That's a great tip. I hadn't even thought about audiobooks. We hadn't even talked about that, but that's a great tip. And really, you know, as a combination of those two tips, is just that, you know, find a comfy space, a cuddly little space. I mean, no one has to be on top of each other, but, you know, just a cuddly downtime that, you know, you can sit and watch a trilogy of movies or read an entire book or whatever and just, you know, enjoy the moment, enjoy the day, no matter what it brings. Make the most of it. Make the most of your sick day. Well, number five is play and learn. And, you know, many of us talk, you know, do family board games at night or, you know, at certain times of the week or whatever. But you know, it's a really good time when mom's sick and she needs to have rest and maybe some quiet in the other part of the rig that, you know, you can break out the board games because there's so many of them that are educational, you know, and not even strictly, you know, made as a learning resource, but, you know, simple games like Battleship and Clue, you know, teach reading strategy. And, you know, Monopoly clearly has all kinds of benefits with the banking system and all that. But there's not really very many games that you couldn't find some sort of, you know, resource through it to learn from. So break out the games. And you know what? If your kids are little and, you know, mom being sick means that the game isn't played exactly according to the rules, who cares? You know, imagination can totally play a role. Let your kids create their own set of rules, and they'll probably have a better time than if, you know, you told them exactly how to play in the first place. So, you know, play and learn.
I love that. I want to take one step forward and talk about a little bit of family board games in our house. And no matter what you think, not everything always goes smoothly in my rig at all. So a lot of times the board game will start with an immediate argument about who gets to be the shoe or who gets to be the car.
Oh, yeah.
So in order to resolve that, I made my own game board pieces. I took pictures of my children. I cut them out. I laminated them. And I put them on little stands. And so they're always the same person. And we always know exactly who's where.
That's funny. I like that idea. That's a good
and
idea.
And it's universal. It works in every game, that from Candyland to Monopoly to anything. Every game that has pieces to move, their pieces to move are them. So that's worked out really well in our house. Your number six thing, which we talked about earlier in the show, is a mom's sick day box should be put together before the bug hits the rig. I love this because I personally love compartmentalizing my life, and I love having kids for every aspect of my life, so this really speaks to me. This busy box should only be used for this special time when mom needs a rest and the kids can keep themselves occupied. Items included will vary on the ages of the road schoolers, but suggestions are coloring books, puzzle books, card games, flashcards, miniature games like Mr. Potato Head, finger puppets, small Lego sets, dominoes, dice games, and any other things that can be enjoyed independently. You can throw it, you know, an old deck of cards in there and have them make card houses. You can throw pipe cleaners in there and have them make, you know, you can throw pipe cleaners and some flashcards of some stuff you get to work creating what they see on those flashcards. There's a million things you can do. It really would take probably under an hour to create this box, and you just keep it in a special place, and the wonder that it holds when you finally pull it out will give you the much-needed rest you need.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you can probably get a good 30-minute nap just on letting them unload the box and checking out all what's in there. So.
Exactly.
The key to this, though, is not to try to put together the sick day box when you're already feeling sick. So
right.
If you like this idea, you know, try to put it together this week and put some snazzy little label on it or mark it with a Sharpie or put a special bow on it or whatever and stick it up on top of a closet shelf and just let everybody know that that's Mom's sick day box. And when the day arrives, voila.
Yeah,
magic.
Exactly.
And if all else fails, the one thing you can always do when Mom's sick in the RV is remember that everybody needs a nap. So it's just important to remember taking time out for a quick sleep during the day will benefit everybody in the RV, no matter how young or how old they are, on days when Mom is under the weather. So a short 20 or 30 minute nap or just some downtime for everybody in the rig is good for everyone, and it might even just help fight off those bugs that are lingering around the healthy members of your family. So, you know, everybody gets together, has a comfy spot for a book or some movies, and then a little nap, everybody will be good.
Absolutely. I love this list. You know what I'd like to do? I'd love for people to either comment on the chat or comment on our Road School Moms Facebook page, or even as listeners may or may not know, we have a Road School Moms Pinterest page. I'd love for them to help us build that box. Tell us what should be in that box. So if you're listening in, you can come on the chat or you can come on our Facebook page later and just tell us what should be in the box and give us the hashtag. If you do it on the Facebook group, give us the hashtag Mom's Sick Day Box so that we can compile a list of what could go in that box.
Good idea. I just put the hashtag on our chat so everybody can see it. Mom's Sick Day Box.
Yeah. Fun. Good. Yeah. As I said, I was really sick, and thank the Lord, I'm much better, and I've been rubbing frankincense on my body all week, and I can't even begin to tell you. I might be a loony. I might. It's entirely possible that I'm out of my mind, but I really do believe that frankincense worked.
I believe you. I believe it works. I could kick myself because as we're sitting here talking, and Melly even called me, or no, she didn't call me. She actually sent me a private message, like on Facebook, a couple days after the show and said, hey, I know you were talking about, you know, putting together your own little battery of oils, and I'll be glad to help you do that. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that, to, you know, in the next day or two. Well, what's that been, 3 weeks ago? And here I still sit, so... I believe
right.
It.
No, I'm very happy to have them. I diffuse them all day long in the camper, Mary Beth. I look at my diffuser, which I have a Smiley Daisy diffuser that I bought on Amazon for around $35. I fill it mostly with water, and then I sprinkle a few drops of whatever essential oils I want to diffuse. And I'm always online looking for recipes. So I found one recipe called Cheer Me Up Buttercup, which is, you know, mood elevation. And then while we're doing our homeschooling, I've got a focus formula in there to help the kids focus. And then as we're doing our story time at night, I'm diffusing the lavender and making everyone nice and sleepy and comfy and cozy. I can't say enough about it. I'm a little bit obsessed.
The current obsession. That's okay.
Yes. Yes, the obsession du jour. So... So that's that. You know, this illness also brought about, I have a best friend back home who I've known my entire life, who is now a doctor. And I was talking to her about what can be done with this Bell's palsy. And it seems that Bell's palsy may or may not be a viral condition, similar to a cold sore, that strikes you. And then once you have it, most people resolve completely after 2 months.
Wow.
So when I was in that much pain, I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm absolutely not going to make it. I can't go 2 months with this kind of pain. And the Aleve or ibuprofen doesn't even touch the pain that I started with. But I was really, really devout. I don't know what the right word is, but I constantly put those oils on every hour or so, and the pain finally went away. But the point of this is that I talked to my friend Sarah, who is a doctor in New Jersey, and I said, wow, you know, I wound up at the emergency room when I showed Chris what my mouth was doing, or actually not doing, that half of it was working and half of it was not. He was really worried that I was having a stroke.
Right, and that's what you absolutely think at
right.
the beginning of.
So I had no choice but to go to the emergency room, which you know I absolutely abhor. I thought, wouldn't it be nice to know when to go and know when not to go? And also to know what to stock as much as possible in a Uber first aid kit. And what I'm talking about is being able to stockpile maybe a couple antibiotics and some, you know, not just wound care and Band-Aids and antiseptic, but you have some stuff on hand so that if you do get sick, that you have something to fight off the infection with. If you don't have time for the oils to work, or if the oils are not working as fast as you need them to.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that's a really good idea. Between the two of us and for any of the moms out there listening, moms or dads, to just, you know, if you've got something that you've added to your first aid kit or your first aid cabinet in your rig that maybe you didn't have when you started out, give us that item, because I know for me, I had what I had when we started out, but then as, you know, just like you're talking about, as you have things happen and as things, you know, you get sick or someone gets sick with a certain thing, then you think, oh my gosh, why didn't I have this? You know, and at that point, that's when you have that. So I love that, putting a good list together of the Uber first aid kit.
Right. We actually have a list for essential oils, stocking your medicine cabinet with essential oils. But the reality of my life is if Chris and I are both ill and it comes time to move this rig, one of us needs to get better fast.
Right.
And you know, Mary Beth, it's not me because I can't drive the rig yet. So as we experienced right after the Tampa rally last year when we all got so ill, we actually had an extra Z-Pak in the camper, and Chris took it. And I took the oils, and I did get better, but Chris needed to move the rig. And so he took the Z-Pak, and he got better before me.
Huh. Well, it's so hard. I don't know how you do this, but, you know, especially when you're traveling and moving, if you haven't been stationary and you're not familiar with the area, it's overwhelming, and, you know, I mean, it's just overwhelming thinking about where do you go? Do you go to an emergency room? Do you try to find a doctor that'll take you? You know, we could probably spend a whole other show just on that kind of a subject.
Right. Well, and it's funny you say that, because then I talked Sarah into being on the show and telling us how to know when to go. So,
good.
On November 16th, Sunday night, November 16th, Dr. Sarah Leonard will be joining us to tell us, you know, what signs to look for that make it an emergency and what things we can resolve in our rig, which is really valuable information because, you know, a lot of us want to err on the side of our good conscience and go, but a lot of us don't have medical insurance, and it can get very, very tricky very fast. You can't always go to the ER. You can't, you know, that can't always be your first go-to place. A lot of times we personally will utilize an Emergimed or an urgent care. In this situation, I wasn't confident that an urgent care wouldn't send me to the ER.
Right.
So then I would just have walked away with two bills instead of one. So we decided to just go to the ER instead. But as it turns out, this ER was also attached to a walk-in clinic. They had a walk-in clinic right there at the hospital. So I guess if we're playing a game of semantics, I went to the walk-in clinic, and so my bill will be anywhere between $254 and $675, as much as they could tell me about that, and plus any lab work that I had done, and I did have one piece of lab work done. And I'd like to think that I might have saved myself, you know, between $500 and $1,000 by not just going to in the next door at the ER.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So, And then I'd love to do a show about insurance on the road at one point. So we'll need to look for an expert about that.
Yes, we do, because it's just an ongoing worry for everyone. Not just RVers or retirees or young families or whatever. Health insurance is a concern, whether or not you believe in Obamacare or you don't, or you have it or you don't. It's a concern. So we should definitely do that soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So have you ever been sick in your RV, Mary Beth?
You know, when you were talking about this, I can tell you, I'm knocking on wood, but I have only been sick one time. And ironically, we were at Disney World, and we hadn't been gone very long. Actually, it was in our first few months out. We had this humongous Disney World trip planned. That was before we really went full-time or anything. And we had tickets to the Winnie the Pooh dinner. I'll never forget it. And everybody was really looking forward to it, and I could tell I was getting sick. I thought I was getting a kidney infection or something, and I was feverish, and I was sick to my stomach, and I really was dizzy, and it was just that whole thing. And I normally can forge through it, and you know how it is. You're the mom. You just do it anyway. And I just couldn't go. And I was so upset and emotional because I was missing this big dinner. It was my youngest. It was her first time there for anything like that. And I just knew my husband wasn't going to get the right pictures, and it was just a big debacle. And I stayed there and cried the whole time they were gone. And, of course, it went just fine, and they survived, and there was pictures, and everybody was fine, and I finally got better. But I know on that day it was awful. That's the only time I've really been sick. I've been lucky.
I have to say the only time that I don't enjoy living in an RV is when I'm sick, because I feel like I can't get the space I need. That is the only time that I feel put upon by living in 350 square feet. And thankfully, I don't get sick very often at all.
Well, I have to tell you that, and I hesitate to say this out loud, because sure as I say it, then, a week from now, everybody will be heave-hoeing. But, I can tell you that for us, we have had less sick days for whatever reason. I'm not saying it's because we live in the RV or because we're not in public school or because of anything at all. I'm just making a statement. We really don't have sick days. We just really don't. We've been lucky for whatever reason.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's very, very few and far between where we are sick. And I feel very lucky about that. And, you would think it might be the opposite, because we are exposed to so many people in so many different situations. I was talking again to Sarah, and, we're talking about vaccinations, and it's a hot button issue. And Sarah and I both stand on opposite ends of the vaccination issue. But since I believe I have a vaccine injured child, you can imagine what side I'm on. And she said, it's a misnomer that your children are not vaccinated. And I said, why is that? And she said, because they're actually self-vaccinated, because they're exposed to so much.
Right. I get that. And I do think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
To be honest. But I also think it's because as RVers, we get outside a lot. I mean, there's not very many. Think about how many days that you're really ever inside all day long, and don't go outside. I think they're outside, and you get, the whole, it's just different. It's a different lifestyle. And for that, it's a good thing.
Well, I do want to talk about one illness that I had and my entire family had when we first started. We were terribly, terribly sick. You know where I'm going with this. I was sure we had norovirus, cruise ship virus, because this was our first 4 months living in tight, confined spaces, and it was also kind of wintry outside, so we were really inside and had the heater running, and we were really, really ill. All of us were presenting with vomiting and diarrhea and just very sick, very, very sick. I remember all I was able to do was pick up the linens, the soiled linens, and throw them outside the door. And by the time I finally had the energy, mustered up enough energy to go wash them, the pile of linens was about 6 feet tall and frozen solid. So,
oh, no.
We were so ill, and we could not get better. We bleached every surface of our camper. We took every precaution that we could, drank tons of water, but we could not get better. And ultimately, what we found out we had was Giardia, which is an intestinal parasite, which does not resolve on its own. You can help the problem a lot by eating, by consuming vast amounts of garlic, and that is what helped Chris to get better. Ultimately, we had to all walk into an ER in California and get some very strong antibiotics, or I don't even remember what it was, something very strong, and take a 7-day cycle of it to be able to clear ourselves of this Giardia. But it was important to note that that wasn't something, wasn't viral, it wasn't bacterial, it was something that we had picked up in our water tank. And although we didn't drink the water out of our fresh tank, we did brush our teeth with it. We took a shower, and I'm sure it got in our mouths then. And the parts per million of an infected droplet of water with Giardia is infinitesimally small. So really, just getting one drop in your mouth, you could get Giardia if your water is compromised in that way. And since then, we have put in all sorts of stopgap measures and filters so that that will never happen again. But for the days leading up, before we knew what we had, I thought, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing ever.
Well, it's just scary when you have something that takes control of you, and then you can't fight it off, you can't make it better, and you can't find anything to relieve it, and just the not knowing was, I'm sure, the scariest part.
Right, and with something like an intestinal parasite, you do get better temporarily because the parasite actually goes through cycles in your body. It lives in your body, and sometimes it sheds and goes dormant, and then it comes rearing back. And so we would get better, and we'd think, okay, we've made it through. We're finally on the end. And then we'd be struck with another cycle of illness, and this went on for 5 weeks before I realized that we really hadn't eaten in the last 4 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and I know for when you first told me this story, my first thought was, oh, well, we don't drink water. You really don't think about how many instances throughout the day. I mean, even something as simple as, somebody, especially your littles, anybody under six, they wash their hands. How long is it before some part of their hands is in their mouth or in
right.
their eye, something?
Exactly.
So just something to definitely take notice of and prevention.
Absolutely. So that's my spiel on getting sick in a camper. I really appreciate that document that you came up with. I think it's perfect. I think if you haven't read the document, where is it residing right now, Mary Beth?
Well, we downloaded it from Dropbox site, and we put it in as a document in our Road School Moms group. And I think that you and I agreed earlier we will put that on our Road Trip Teacher, the roadtripteacher.com site, as well as Full-Time Families in our blog post this week. So if you're listening to this podcast later, you can check the Road School Moms Facebook page or either one of our websites, Road Trip Teacher and Full-Time Families, to get that document easily.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. What's coming up this week at Road Trip Teacher?
Well, we are working on 3 or 4 different copywork guides. We have all kinds of things going on this week for printables, actually, free printables for your math road school, a couple of fun games for just some basics like estimating and skip counting for the younger ones in your rig, and there's also a couple for ratios for the olders in your rig, so you can check the website for that. We are going to be doing a little bit of research and development for a study guide that we have coming up on Illinois in the state capital of Springfield. My road schoolers, I didn't talk about this before, but we made a short visit this last week to the Vermilion County Museum, which has a lot of Abraham Lincoln information, and we're actually going back for a bigger tour this next week before we leave to go south. So we're going to be doing some state research this week on the state of Illinois in our road school.
Very cool. At Full Time Families this week, we are continuing to build our directory of family-friendly campgrounds. We're up to 10 nationwide campgrounds that have agreed to be family-friendly approved that make the cut, They're high-quality campgrounds that offer amenities for children, welcome children, and will waive the additional kid fee, kid tax, or additional person fee for card-carrying FPS members. So we're busy doing that. Another blog post we put up this week was, are you interested in appearing in an upcoming documentary? Have you ever heard of or watched any of Morgan Spurlock's stuff, Mary Beth?
I haven't. I have not.
How about Supersize Me?
I have seen that, yes.
Okay, so that's him. He's a documentary producer, an award-winning documentary producer, and they are looking to produce a documentary about freedom in America. Does it still exist? What lengths do you have to go to attain it? We've spoken in depth to the documentary producers, and we feel that this is a really exciting project where we're going to be presented not as freak shows, but as pioneers and trendsetters and risk takers. So we are supporting this their documentary efforts, and if you are interested in being part of this documentary, they have a casting call out that we have posted on fulltimefamilies.com. Under Are You Interested in Appearing in an Upcoming Documentary? And you can find all the specifics about it and then how you can apply. So that's going on. And then we're still taking registration for our two rallies, the Las Vegas Rally, Back to Basics Boondocking Rally, Las Vegas, March 25th to 28th, 2015, and our Castaway Rally in Tampa, February 5th to the 8th, 2015. In fact, I was just chatting with Jennifer Miles, who is the wagon master for that rally, right before the show, and she was showing me the prototypes for the logos for the rally, and boy, are they stinking cute.
I know she really is, has a lot of good information, and she has several people that is providing their input and have volunteered, and it looks like it's going to be a great rally, and I'm personally excited to be able to say that we're going. I just wish that you all were going to be there.
I know. But we will be at the Las Vegas rally, so you'll hit up the East Coast, we'll hit up the West Coast, and hopefully we'll be able to meet in the middle.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so we've got these two copies of Mom's Night Out to raffle off tonight. You have any ideas?
No, I'm the worst at this. I'm the worst at trying to figure that out. What should we give it to someone? No, we can't give it to the road school mom that's been sick in the most recent time, because that would be you. So that wouldn't be a very good.
That would save on shipping. But let's think. I like the mom's box idea. So why don't we say the first two people that go to our road school moms Facebook group, right, and put a comment about what they would put in that box with that hashtag. What do we call it? Mom's sick day box?
Mom's sick day box, yep.
Right. Or, so let's do that. Let's go to Facebook, Road School Moms group on Facebook, which is available at facebook.com. I'm looking, 1 second. Yeah, I hate that it doesn't bring up the URL. Facebook.com/group/Road School Moms. If you find our page by accident, that's fine. We'll count that too. So
right.
If you type search box in there, Road School Moms, go ahead and put a thing that you think should be in the Mom's Sick Day box and add hashtag Mom's Sick Day box. And the first two people who do that will get their free copies of Mom's Night Out.
I like that idea. Maybe that'll spark the interest for a big, long list that we can share with everyone next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. And I'd love to – oh, I think we have our first – see something. I see – I'm refreshing. Oh, Jennifer Hall is a winner. She says, I would put a new box of crayons and fresh coloring books. My kids love new crafts. Mom's Sick Day Box. Jennifer, you are our first winner, and I will – probably be able to hand deliver your prize to you because I am headed to you. Turns out that Jennifer and I will be in the same state next week.
so fun.
And you may recall, I don't know if you do, but Jennifer Holt actually was the Road School mom of the new family that came in to Timberwolf RV, where Chris and my family work camped this summer. We worked camp for the first 2 months of the summer, and the Holt family did it for the second 2 months of the summer.
Gosh, that seems like so long ago, but it really wasn't that long ago at all.
I know. Can you imagine?
Crazy how time flies.
Very cool. So, well, that's all our show.
Yep, it's been a good show. I'm glad you're feeling better. Hopefully, you'll be one more week better by next week, and you'll be back to feeling like your old self.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm going to continue with my oils and continue praying for my healing, and happy to be feeling much better.
So next week we're going to be here, same time, same place, live 9 p.m. Eastern, and next week we'll be talking more about our independent location jobs. Is that right, Kimberly?
That's correct. More ideas for location independent income sources on the road, how you can make your dream of being on the road a reality.
And until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.